It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasis right here on 720 WGN. And Ben LaBolt has joined us at the WGN Convention Studios here on the floor, near the floor of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. And Ben spent a few years working for the president, actually working to make the president the president, right?
Correct.
In 2008, wouldn't that be the best way to do it? So you were there and that nail-biting moment right before the, you know, as the convention's going, you want to make sure everybody's on the same page, doing the right stuff, saying the right stuff, that he's going to have his speech ready to go. And now this is the last speech of the president's career that really has this political stage,
yep,
and this level of importance.
Well, actually, a funny story about 2008, you know, it's back in the Chicago headquarters, staffing headquarters, the night of the convention, when the president walked out on stage in Denver. We held it in a football stadium then, and one of my colleagues sent out his remarks 5 minutes early without an embargo. So in news terms, you could report what he was going to say right away. And he got a call from Denver that made him so upset that he actually passed out and fell out of his chair, and we had to call the paramedics. So hopefully this will be a little bit better organized this time around. But I think this is the president's chance to make his case as a convert for Hillary Clinton, somebody who ran against her in 2008 and then served at her side next to her in the Situation Room in the Oval Office, saw her make tough decisions, well-considered decisions. She knows what it takes to be president. He's going to say tonight that she's actually going to be the most qualified nominee for president ever.
Well, that's a theme that we've heard over and over again. We've heard that mentioned almost every night. Someone has brought that up. Most overqualified. I think even Sarah Silverman may have been the first person to say that. Overqualified person. And that obviously that is if you're looking to get moderate voters here, right? And that the play,
yep,
because obviously
independents too.
The Democrats are going to go primarily for Hillary. They have to cover their left a little bit as well. But conservatives are going to go for Donald Trump, and he's going to have to cover his middle a little bit. I mean, the whole thing's a little, and his fringe too. The whole thing's as weird as I've ever seen, Ben. As weird as I've ever seen. But in the meantime, what do you think? So the president does his job tonight of selling it. Will he also take a little bit of a victory lap? And then the setup to that question is really, what does she need to do?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, I don't know that it'll be a victory lap, but I think he will disagree with Donald Trump's doom and gloom vision of where America is. He'll talk about overcoming the financial crisis, the recovery of the auto sector, all these points along the way over the past 8 years, and we've got to continue upon that progress. But this election isn't just about policies, it's about who we are as a country. And I think the president will really question Donald Trump's vision for that, whether we're going to blame groups of people for our challenges or all address them together. And then I think, you know, as we get to Clinton's speech, we've seen a lot of character witnesses for Hillary Clinton, learning more about who she is, what her values are, what motivates her. That was the focus of Bill Clinton's speech last night. And in some ways, we're getting to know somebody who's been on the public stage for decades.
Don't you get the sense, though, that in the voting electorate right now and on the streets, and as people are talking, and we were in Cleveland, and people who would be Donald Trump voters and people who are converting to him are people who are frustrated by the direction of the country over the last, 4 years. You know, 2008 was a scary moment, right? We all know that.
Sure.
And trying to recover from that. But then the growth hasn't come back as quickly. That whole 1% cry seems to have gotten a little bit worse. The concept that the system is rigged, the concept that the people aren't going to be able to get a fair shake, and that now there might actually even be cheating to keep other insurgent candidates from being able to rise to a level, as the Bernie Sanders people don't even think they know based on the email scandal. So what needs to happen here?
You know, Donald Trump has played into that. He's played into people's anger and fears about some
no
trends
question about
that have been
that,
happening.
Ben, but some of that's also in the firmament.
But look, I do think people are upset about globalization and automation and some of these trends which are leaving some communities in the Rust Belt behind. And Clinton will have to speak to that. I think the president will speak to that. as well. Either we can address our challenges by offering programs that lift everybody up, things like worker retraining programs, investments in small businesses, expanding access to higher education, or we can pursue Donald Trump's policies. It's hard to talk about what those are because you didn't really hear about him last week. He just says that he's the vehicle to solve them. But if he replicates the policies the Republicans have run on year after year, tax cuts for the wealthiest, making all of our investments there, well, then that resulted in the financial crisis in the first place.
How much time do you think the president will spend tonight taking down Trump, working, talking about his own legacy, and then making the case for Hillary Clinton? What do you think he's going to do with those three topics, which he inevitably is going to have? That's part of the speech.
It really sounds like three-quarters of the speech will center on Hillary Clinton, why she's the right choice for the American people, why she's the right choice at this time. Not only her experience, but her judgment and character. Ultimately, Clinton winning is what is necessary for an expansion of the president's legacy. So I don't think that he needs to spend too much time there. And I think the contrast with Donald Trump will be more about his vision for America than who he is as a man.
Well, what's interesting about Donald Trump, and I was watching his press conference today, and there were moments in that press conference where Donald Trump read to me as not a lunatic, and that rarely happens for me. So,
was that before or after he endorsed espionage?
Well, that was before.
It got a little weird there, I think.
Then it got a little weird, but then it came back for a second, and it made some sense, and then it got a little weird again. So I wasn't quite sure what to do with him. But he also called for, he's got a plan, I'm going to give it to you in a couple of weeks, okay, about education. He wants to change, he thinks that colleges are rigged. And this is clearly an attempt to go after the Bernie Sanders people. They either college graduates or recent college graduates or people who are in who realize they're spending a lot of money. They've got these loans and they don't know that the education that they're paying for now is actually going to help them in the future. And they feel frustrated by that because they've seen their older siblings or friends or whatever not have that experience. So Trump will go after any low-hanging fruit he possibly can go after. So he says he's going to do that. He also wants to spend money on defense because of the depleted nature of the United States military. He's trying to stay away from the language that leaves him open to criticizing troops. It's more about the equipment and the management, the bureaucratic management of the military. But what I saw, and then he wants a tax cut. And all I saw there was cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. He's not, the one thing the Republicans do is they tend to count the beans when they're making these speeches. He's not counting the beans, and he doesn't seem to care about it. And then you wonder, what happens if he does become president? And he can't fulfill any of this.
Well, and the scariest story that I read about him is a New York Times piece from earlier this week that said that somebody on his campaign had called Governor John Kasich of Ohio and said, "Do you want to be the most powerful vice president in history? You can run foreign and domestic policy." And Kasich's advisor responded, "Well, then what's Donald Trump going to do?" And he said, "Make America great again." You know, so I just think,
The Trump people, of course, deny that now. But he also said Trump said he was going to run a super PAC against Kasich and also against Cruz. I mean, that kind of disharmony, it's very weird to watch. What do you think has caused Donald Trump's ascendancy, given all of the sort of bad sportsmanship that he exhibits?
Well, I do think it's the frustration you pointed out earlier from people who feel left out of the economy. I also think that, you know, the rise of the Tea Party over the past several years was originally embraced by the Republican establishment, but it became a little bit of a Frankenstein. They weren't able to pass anything that had been a priority for the leadership. They got separated from their base, and they were viewed as basically a country club party that was close with corporations. And the base got away with them. And those are a lot of the folks supporting Donald Trump.
So much so that John Boehner's own bartender at his country club tried to kill him. That is really true. I mean, isn't that it's a crazy thing that has happened here. And right, I mean, that sort of that conservative, that standard regular Republican part of that party is gone. And now where do they go? That becomes like the Jeb Bush people. Where do they go?
There might be a real third party based on the Republican Party after this election. We really don't know.
The Bushes just endorsed the Libertarian candidate.
Gary Johnson and William Weld, right, is the vice president on that. Where's Jill Stein? Does Jill Stein have a vice president yet?
She was out talking to the Bernie people, trying to convert them today, too, out here. But, you know, there's a lot going on. I want to also ask you about Tim Kaine, though, too, speaking tonight. You know, embraced by some, but not everyone within the party. I think that even Senator Warren was interviewed today by David Muir at ABC, and she said, you know, can't really, I'm not going to say he's my pick yet. I'm not going to say I'm totally on board yet. Your thoughts, will everyone eventually be on board and embrace Tim Kaine?
Well, I think you've got to look at his qualifications and you've got to look at his life story. I mean, if you're a progressive, this is somebody who, he didn't go to a law firm to represent big corporations. He went to a law firm to represent people who'd been abused in housing discrimination and won settlements on their behalf against big corporations. He served at every level of government. He's been a mayor, he's been a governor, he's been a senator, he's got domestic policy experience, he's got foreign policy experience. Do I think that he will be the boldest candidate on the stump that you've ever seen? No, but I think he'll be a great governing partner in the White House, and he'll be ready to govern from day one.
But you guys rolled him out in 2008 as your economics guy, I remember, in Denver. He was the guy that they were sending out as a surrogate for that. I mean, he clearly is a, you know, he's I think he's well thought of, right?
Yes, and absolutely.
He's a touch wonky. He speaks Spanish with a bit of an American accent, if you talk to our friends from Mexico.
He's been mayor of a predominantly African-American city and governor of a southern, traditionally conservative state. So he certainly had the ability to appeal a bunch of people. And I'll tell you, he stood up to the NRA in the state of Virginia after the Virginia Tech shootings. That wasn't something we'd seen any politician in the state do beforehand, and it was a bold move that said something about his character.
Where do we end up here? I know we got to let you go. Ben LaBolt, we're talking to, who ran a few campaigns for Barack Obama. And whatever happened to him? Let's see. What is, oh, he's speaking
tonight.
That worked
out well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I wonder, moving forward here, how, if I can just get you to kind of settle into a soft prediction here, how tight is this going to be?
Look, I think the danger of this election is that people get complacent. They can't picture Donald Trump in the Oval Office, and they stay home and think that's just too crazy of an idea. Look, the polls this week are tight.
But people don't necessarily trust Hillary either. The polls all show that.
But and I think that's what President Obama is going to focus on tonight. The fact that at the end of the day, you need somebody with the judgment and experience to be president of the United States in a dangerous world, in a world where we face a lot of significant challenges.
Do you think at the end of the day, when people in November, when they go into that voting booth, as Ruth Bader Ginsburg and I are boarding the jet to New Zealand, and we're deciding between Auckland and Christchurch, we can't decide.
Both lovely.
They're both lovely, especially at this time of year. I wonder, do you think that people will freak out and go, oh, I can't do this? And
I think, look, you know, there were concerns about Sanders supporters, for example, sitting this one out. I think he really projected the urgency around this election. You've heard it not only from leaders that you recognize, you've heard it from celebrities and people that don't listen to political shows every day. So I think the message will be clear. We can't take this one for granted.
All right, Ben LaBolt. By the way, keep the celebrities off the stage. Hasn't gone so well for Sarah Silverman or Paul Simon, for that matter. Oh, boy. Oh, gosh.
That was rough.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Here, standing by right now with the WGN. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate
you guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Standing by with the WGN traffic trouble spots, here is Violetta Powder Medic.